In Sudan, several hundred people have died, and hundreds of thousands have fled after more than 3 weeks of fighting between rival generals. Among those fleeing is Muja Katib. She's a 42-year-old doctor and single mother from Khartoum, Sudan's capital. Here's what she had to say when she and her 15-year-old son were preparing to leave their home.
I'm so depressed. I'm so down because I can't believe that after all that I built, I have to leave everything behind me.
NPR's Emmanuel Akinwotu has stayed in touch with Katib. This is the story of her grueling journey out of Sudan.
It seems like it's going to be a very long journey, so let us see.
This is Muja Katib, about to leave her apartment in southern Khartoum. She's among thousands fleeing the gunfire and shelling, and leaving the lives they've built behind. Initially, she wanted to leave the country via Port Sudan or Egypt, but her son didn't have the travel documents, and she feared he'd be turned away. So she decided to go south instead.
I'm trying to go to Juba, to South Sudan. So just wish me luck.
They left Khartoum at dawn, weaving through quiet and battered back streets to avoid the checkpoints by the army and paramilitary rapid support forces. Then they began a days-long journey to the border, driving through long stretches of countryside. Along the journey, they often relied on the kindness of rural communities and strangers waiting to help people fleeing Sudan.
They are very stopping small cars and bus because they want to welcome them, and they are offering people food and drinks and water in the street.
Then they made several more smaller journeys by bus and by foot until they reached the border. Muja and Fadi are among at least 43,000 to cross into South Sudan, one of the poorest countries in the world. Once there, they took a commercial bus to a town called Renk, but they couldn't find somewhere to stay. So again, they relied on the kindness of strangers.
The driver took us to his house, and he invited us for dinner, me and my son. And next day from there, he drove us at the station.
They arrived in Palluj, a transit point just inside South Sudan. She sent us a video she took from there. In it, you can see a desperate scene of thousands of people camped in the grounds of a small airport, mainly for oil workers.
Hi, Emmanuel. How are you? There are a lot of people, thousands of people are there. Between 4,000 to 5,000 people are at Fulaj Airport. There are no service, no toilet, no drinking water. Also, there is no food.
Most were waiting in the open for evacuation flights that rarely arrived. They were there for 5 days, sick and barely able to eat. But again, they found help. She met someone who offered to pay for them to take a flight to Juba, South Sudan's capital.
His name is Michael Christopher. He came especially from Juba with an airplane. He arranged a ticket for me and for my son. So I'm very grateful for this. For me, it was a very tough experience. I've never ever thought I would be through this. And without Michael, maybe I would be there for a week or more.
She and Fadi finally arrived in Juba a few days ago.
I'm staying with my friend.
She went to meet an old university friend who was staying at their relative's place, a large house that was already hosting several people who'd fled from Sudan.
There are like 50 people in his house, but it's a big house. So we are like just like 4 or 5 people sharing the same room.
She still has so much to contend with, but for now, she feels safe. And I hear her laugh for the first time in weeks. Emmanuel Akinwotu, NPR News, N'Djamena.